Welcome to Folkcraft. I'm your host, Temperance Alden. And today we have Robin Valentine of the book Magical Tarot, which is available like literally everywhere.
Literally.
Introduce yourself.
So hi, my name is Robin Valentine. I am the creator behind the blog and shop Tired Witch. I am the author of Magical Tarot, and I am the co-host of my own podcast called Coffee and Cauldrons.
Thank you so much for being on with me today, Robin.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So today we are going to have a fun episode that I have never actually attempted this style of podcast before because I don't feel like I'm a great interviewer, but today is going to be an interview, if you could call it that, with Robin. But instead of asking her about her practice, instead of seeing what her childhood was like, we don't really care about that. Let's be honest. None of us care about that, okay?
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit about that. But you know what we do care about? Witchcraft. That's we're all here to listen about witchcraft. And Robin is an amazing resource for me into kind of a bird's eye view of a culture that I'm not a part of. And so quite recently we were having a conversation about marigolds because they are used in Mexico around this time of year. And I really don't know that much about it. So I had been asking Robin a lot of questions, especially because I bought some from Trader Joe's and I'm going to be quite honest. I accidentally killed one of them. They were live plants and rest in peace. It's on the
rest
altar though. It's on the ancestor altar. It's in the right place. So, but yeah, I recently bought these marigolds and so me and Robin had a conversation. When did you first become aware of the, not just like the cultural aspects of using marigolds, but when did you become like aware of the, you know, spiritual meaning behind them?
I was quite young. So marigolds, I'm trying to think of how to word this. They're very heavily connected with Dia de los Muertos. And growing up mixed race, we celebrated it every year. It wasn't until I was like significantly older in life that my parents kind of stopped celebrating it annually. My abuela still does, but my mother's only just started kind of maneuvering back towards that. So I was probably 9 or 10 when it stopped being just something that I knew we were doing, like Christmas or Halloween, and something that I was actually starting to get an interest in understanding.
Could you explain a little bit about the significance of marigolds this time of year?
Yeah, so marigolds are native to Mexico. They're like a super hardy plant. I don't know if you've ever been to California, but ever seen poppy fields in California?
Yeah,
they're like so marigolds grow like that. They just
girl, let me just tell you, you're saying they're hardy. This little guy died on my altar because I didn't water it for 2 days.
When I truly tell you that is an alarming thing that you killed that plant. But they're like a really hardy plant. Like they can be in direct sunlight as a flower that's usually quite delicate. So anyway, marigolds and their use predate the Spanish coming to Mexico, and they think that it's like tied to an Aztec version of modern day Dia de los Muertos. But because of like the whole colonization and eradicating of an entire culture because of the genocide, it's hard to tell exactly like what that would have looked like, but in modern day times marigolds are used in heavy association with the dead and our ancestors. It's called Flor de Muerta, and essentially it is a representation of the like fragility and vibrance that is life, and we use it as a symbol of kind of directing our ancestors to the ofrenda and the offerings that we give them and the ancestral altar. And it's a cornerstone, in my opinion, of Day of the Dead. It sounds corny, but Coco, the movie Coco from Disney,
actually
does like a really good representation of Day of the Dead and like the connection. And there's like that, you know, the scene when they're doing the like the ticket booth TSA, yes. And they've got that bridge of marigolds that they cross. Mm-hmm. So that is essentially the idea. The marigolds are the bridge, the gap between the land of the living, the land of the dead, and it helps them find where they need to go. So without the marigolds, you're kind of not really directing your ancestors to anything. You've got this beautiful ofrenda, you've got these beautiful baked goods and all that, and then you just, if you leave that part out, how are they going to find where they need to go? And it doesn't need to be real marigolds. When I was a kid, we used to make them out of tissue paper.
That's so cute.
Yeah, because it was hard to get them when I was a kid and we didn't have a lot of money. So it was not really an option. But you would still make them because the symbolism is still there.
Would you say that marigolds are something that, you know, in folk magic especially, would marigolds be something that you could use all year if you're doing ancestor-related work, or are they actually a very seasonal item
to me personally? I would 100% say that they would be an all-year item. I mean, obviously there might be people that would disagree with me on that. I would say that they're an all-year item 100%. Yes, they are super heavily connected to this one time of year, but we can say that about a lot of things being connected to a single time of year, you know, like the bayberry, for example, in the new year. Would you say you couldn't use that ever again? Like,
okay. Let me tell you what, bayberry is not invited to the 4th of July. I'm just telling you.
Bayberry actually cannot come to Veterans Day. I'm just letting you know. So I 100% think that you could use it. I mean, I know that I use it alongside roses as offerings for Santa Muerte. Mm-hmm. Because of the association, and I also think they make a really beautiful combo. If you've never put roses and marigolds together, you need to sort your life out.
So here's like the most important question, I think, out of everything that, you know, you've said and the importance of it, and obviously you have it, okay? The question that everyone always seems to ask this time of year is, well, what do I do with this stuff when it's not Samhain anymore? Or like, you know, what do I do with the plate of food? What do I do with the offerings? What do I do with the flowers? What are you doing with these marigolds once the season is done?
So, just like anything, everybody's got an opinion and I've got mine.
But that's what you're doing.
For me personally, I'm a really big believer in like, we taketh and we give it back. So for me personally, I'll always put like a bouquet of marigolds on my altar, and I will leave that there until they're dying. But then I also decorate with marigolds like everywhere. I put them it's marigold city at my house. And I go and I put them back in nature. So usually I will find like a sacred pit place that's important to me, or something similar, like a tree that's been there for a bajillion years, and I will go and put them at the base of that tree and just let nature take them back. As for the food offerings, I do pretty similarly. Now, obviously, I don't recommend people going and putting just like any old food out into the woods, because like, you don't know like what animals are gonna take it. But the food that I know is okay for animals to like nibble on, I will go put that back out in nature as well, and I'll let nature take it. I personally am a really firm believer that you do not eat the dead's food. That is theirs, and you don't eat it. And I get very stressed out when people show videos of like repurposing your offering foods for your ancestors. I think that you can share a meal with the dead. I think that if you are sat at your ofrenda or at your ancestor altar and you're eating it with them, you know what I mean? Sure. You probably shouldn't eat food that's been sat out for 4 or 5 days. I'm just saying. Probably not. Probably a food health safety concern.
Are you OSHA now? Like, are you the FDA?
Yeah, I am, actually. Thank you. I'm the CDC.
Okay.
Surprise.
Surprise.
I think that if you're going to eat it with them at that sacred space, then I can definitely see the argument for it. But I am a really firm believer that you do not eat the food that is for the dead. You just don't. Give it back to nature. Like,
Did but I tell you about the story? I had a through a little house party thing when we were newer to our house. And so for those of you listening, and if you've never seen my social media, I take a lot of shots in like this downstairs windowsill area. Like pretty much all of my content comes from this windowsill area. And
I thought you were saying shots like needle shots. And
yeah, like, I'm just giving myself medical shots. Yeah, so a lot of my video footage, is that better, comes from this very specific like angle in my house. And that's a downstairs windowsill. It's very deep. It's probably like a foot and a half or 2 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And I have two altars, one on the first floor level and one on the second floor level, though they're both in the windowsill. So the downstairs windowsill is like a public altar. Anyone in my house can use it. Guests that come over can use it. It's just kind of like free form vibe and chill, and like none of my personal like deities or spirits are tied to this area. Mm-hmm. So I keep a lot of like ancestor stuff there. You know, deceased friends, deceased family members. I have like incense or candles going on all the time. Well, we were throwing this little party. It was kind of like a housewarming a little bit. And I had wine on there. I had just opened it that day. So there was a bottle of wine on there. There were glasses.
I see where this
because
is going.
I keep glasses on the altar. And yeah, so we had a guest come over and pour themselves a glass. They're walking around my house. And I don't drink wine. So I'm like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? They're like, oh, it was in the windowsill. Someone left it there. And I was like, ah! I was like, oh my God.
I am so stressed out. The very idea of that has me actually, like, I'm getting a hot flash. Like, that is terrifying.
Just, like, take a guess, though. Don't say it out loud, but just, like, take a guess who it was. Because, like, I promise
I already
you know
who
them.
It was. That is so stressful to me. The idea, I know some people, like, especially, like, when I was a younger woman, we were all on a budget, you know what I mean? And I would have friends that I knew that are also practitioners who would, they just couldn't afford to waste the food. And like, I get that 100%. But then I feel like you really have to go about it in a respectful way. I do not, however, think that you should be making a smoothie and then making a TikTok about that smoothie that you are like, hey, this is from dead people, gonna make a, come with me to make a ancestral smoothie.
I don't know. I guess I have some opinions about it too, in that I'm very much like you, but I don't think humans should consume that food. But if it was something that I could give to an animal safely,
totally.
Or if I could put it in a compost pile, those are two things that I
right.
regularly
that, that
do.
Is my firm belief as well. Like, I give it back to nature, and nature is, in my opinion, including like our dogs and compost piles, etc. I do understand the argument for people who are lower income and they cannot afford to waste, in their eyes, waste money like that, right?
I just think that food offerings should actually not be utilized that often. If I'm being honest, like, I think that they're way overused. And that's a cultural thing, right? Because some cultures like feed their dead. I don't, right? So for me, it's like, the times of years that comes out are very specific, like Beltane, Samhain, any death anniversaries or birthdays of dead people. Those are specific times of the year where I see that coming out in my personal practice. Otherwise, I do a lot of liquid offerings. I do a lot of physical offerings, like playing music, writing poetry or songs or hymns or anything like that. Those are things that I more gravitate towards, and flowers. Like, I do
flowers,
a shit ton of flowers.
For me, are that's pretty much my go-to. Flowers, incense, and alcohol. Those are my big offerings. And things like alcohol, for example, I most often offer whiskey or vodka, and that will evaporate like just by sitting there, and so you can just clean it out when it's done and you don't have to worry about dumping it somewhere or drinking,
you know,
it,
water evaporates too.
Yeah, but water takes a lot longer than like whiskey to evaporate.
Like, you know what, I use the water on my altar to water the plants on my altar every day, and that's why I'm so surprised this miracle died.
I don't know how you did it. How you did it, I don't know. But I am proud of you for managing it.
You know what? I've left it there to be with the other spirits through Samhain season. So I just feel like it was appropriate.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it really does stress me out when people say that they eat the food of the, for the dead. Like, imagine that you're a spirit for just a moment, and you're like, oh, sick. Somebody made me chili relleno. Amazing. I'm so excited to eat this. And then you're like, I'm going to eat this. And then all of a sudden you see, like, your whatever the current tense is for ancestor. And just, like, chowing down on it, like,
here's the final closing question, okay? If you were an ancestor, what is the thing that you would most love to see on an altar and most hate to see on an altar?
Oh, this is easy. Oh, this is so easy. Listen, okay, I'm gonna stick with the theme of food items, okay? I feel like that's an obvious go-to. If you were making an altar for me, I would want Cherry Coke, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and macaroni and cheese with ketchup on it.
Okay, now here's a question. Is the macaroni and cheese vegan, or do I get to use Kraft?
As a ancestor, I will not be particular.
Okay.
I wouldn't be particular, but I would specifically want them to make it with sour cream. Vegan or not, doesn't matter.
It can't be vegan if it's sour cream.
There's vegan sour creams. Trust me, I literally made it this morning.
Yikes.
That was my breakfast. What's up? I'm a mom.
My breakfast was vegan sour cream.
Woo!
Who does that? Who does
vegan sour cream in macaroni and cheese. I had Annie's vegan mac, and instead of the butter and the milk, you put sour cream in it. And trust me, try it. You'll love it.
You know, I'll let you cook it for me next time I'm around.
I will.
I'll give you that.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Here's what I'll give you, okay? My promise to you, my gift to you, as a future ancestor, my gift to you is that I will come visit you, and you can make for me, one, vegan macaroni and cheese, and two, I will try the Christmas quiche. I will try the eggless Christmas quiche.
Are you... I can't even believe that you're, like, coming up and you're talking about my Christmas quiche
Here we go, guys. This is the real finale of the episode, is that I want to relate to you guys the Christmas quiche story. This is 2 years in a row. My podcast is going to hear about it first. So last year,
hater,
Robin and Maria had me on as a guest for Coffee and Cauldrons for Yule. You can still find the episode. It's a pretty good episode.
It is a good episode.
So you can find that episode. And in this episode, Robin talks about a Christmas quiche. Now, I am a good friend, and so I know my friend is vegan. And I said, what the fuck? You don't eat eggs. It's not a quiche. Okay? Quiche requires eggs. And it is, she's like, no, ingredient. It's a quiche, I swear. Well, me and Maria roasted the fuck out of Robin the rest of the episode about this Christmas quiche. She got her feelings hurt. She put it on Instagram. Instagram roasted her too. So she got her feelings double extra hurt. She was pregnant at the time. Her husband sends me a text that was like, she's making me eat the whole pan of Christmas quiche and I'm getting sick.
I was 4 months pregnant. 3 months pregnant, something like that. Yeah, because I announced my pregnancy to my family right around Christmas. So I was like 3 months pregnant, and I had a really hard time during my pregnancy, as I know you know. And so I was like, I do make this Christmas quiche every year, and every year we only have like one or two pieces of pop. I put some on the altar. It's like a whole thing.
It doesn't keep. I want to let everyone know here that it doesn't keep. You have to eat it same
not
day.
Keep. It does not keep. And so we always just have like a little bit. And then, you know, I end up using it for offerings and stuff like that. My husband, I was like, it's good, right? Because I was so hormonal that I like, and I'm not somebody who gets offended or my feelings hurt very easily. And so like normally roasting me is like, I'll roast me right along with you. If you've ever seen me on Twitter with Tenny, you would know. But I was like, everyone's being mean about my quiche. Is it good? And he's like, yeah, it's, oh, this is the best quiche I've ever had, actually. I would like to have this. It was so bad.
She made him eat the whole pan.
I didn't make him, but I did cry until he finished it.
He literally texted me. He texted me like, I'm suffering. Please end my life.
And the thing is that the quiche is really good, but like as a piece or two, not like eating half of a pan of it. It's one of those foods that you have and then you have it with something else. So like I make the Christmas quiche and then we have like maybe like scalloped potatoes with it or something. Like
For the record, because my podcast may not listen to your podcast, I just want to relate what I remember to be the recipe for the Christmas quiche, and I can be corrected, of course. I remember the Christmas quiche recipe being garbanzo beans, hummus, leeks, and that's what I recall.
Okay, you're close. It is tofu, hummus, leeks, and then I put like vegan. I mean, obviously there's more like extra little ingredients, but those are the main ingredients. And then I'll put like sun-dried tomatoes in it or like vegan ham. It's good. It's good, actually.
It's Christmas quiche season. It's good, actually. You shouldn't have to like verify to your friends, like, it's good, actually. If it was good, I would be like, yeah, that sounds so good. But here's where you lost me, is that you mashed up some tofu, some soft tofu, with some hummus, and you were like, yeah, this is an egg substitute.
Delicioso. I cannot believe that you conned me to come on here to talk about miracles. And you roast so fucking up. Oh my Christ.
Yeah, so.
Oh God, the glasses came off that one. I'm officially my dad.
Well, that is going to be it for us on Folkcraft, you guys. If you want to support the show, you can support it through my Patreon at Wild Woman Witchcraft. This has been Robin. Robin, you want to plug yourself?
I do.
Can you tell the people where to find the Christmas quiche recipe?
You know what? The day you air this, you need to like text me and I will put it in my stories and I will put it up there with no reference. So only people who are listening to the podcast, I'll even put it in my highlights for like a couple days.
Okay.
So you listen to the podcast. Yes, you can come to my social and you can get the Christmas quiche recipe. Which is a tired witch on all platforms except for Twitter, because somebody stole it on Twitter, where I'm tired X witch. Or you can go to tiredwitch.com/find me to find my book, to find my socials, to find my podcast, to find everything.
And again, Robin's book is this wonderful book here, which is technically Robin's. I said I was going to mail it out yesterday and I didn't. Here wow. It is. Magical Tarot by Robin Valentine. I actually really enjoy it. And if you go to, I got this at Books A Million, you can get
the softback cover.
So I prefer it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I haven't seen the softback, so I'm excited.
Oh, it's really good. I like it a lot more. And I'm Temperance Alden, your host. I'm at Wild Woman Witchcraft, but you already know that because you're listening to my podcast. So thank you for being here and have a great night.